Hey gang, we're off for the holidays this week, and since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show on high blood pressure that originally aired in April of 2014. And we hope you all have a great holiday.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I am Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here today with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, and all-around total pain in the ass kind of guy.
Everything you're saying is true.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And we also have the very sweet, cute Will Schmidt. He's a fitness trainer to the stars, and I could just go on and on, but I won't because we have limited time.
Hi.
Hi. For all of our Kick It Naturally listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you can check out their service. Mm-hmm. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link.
And that's for all the listeners, not even the annoying ones get it too.
Awesome.
That's nice.
So today we're going to be talking about high blood pressure, people. So if you're listening to us and you're in the car, pull over, follow us on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts, and we'll post topics that we'll be discussing in future shows there, and then you guys can post questions that you want us to cover, and we'll do it on the show.
You can access questions.
Yeah, you can ask us questions. Exactly.
That's what I said. Access questions.
Access. You can access questions. So we'll get to that.
Or street.
Yeah, we're street here. We're very ghetto. I'm having a hard time today. Maybe it's my blood pressure.
It probably is.
But I'm low blood pressure, right. So
also a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah,
that's one thing that we need to make sure that people understand is that how ridiculous it is that the medical community puts such a huge emphasis on high blood pressure, but they completely ignore an equally debilitating situation in the opposite direction.
Because they don't have medication for that yet. But
because
as soon
they
as they
care.
Do,
no.
Then we'll have low blood pressure problems.
It'll be popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the cool kids will have
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, what exactly causes high blood pressure? And tell us a little bit why it's such a bad thing to have.
Okay, let's break it down before we get into questions. And that's one point, is that basically the perfect blood pressure is like 120 over 80. That's when Will has that and he gets a smiley face.
All day.
Yeah, he gets
from
that.
Sprinting or sleeping.
Right. Doesn't matter. It's nonstop, perfect. Mm-hmm. But, so they say...
His poop smells like flowers too,
yeah,
everybody.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about why we know that. but so 120 over 80 is perfect. And once you get to like 140 over 90, that's when they consider you are high blood pressure and you're a bastard. I don't know why they include that in the diagnosis, but that's what they say.
Maybe because it makes you angry.
Yeah, it might. So the main point is that why isn't an equally blood pressure off in the other direction of like 100 over 70, why isn't that considered low blood pressure? So that's something that needs to be fixed.
Can I hypothesize? Maybe.
Yeah, and I want you to fix it too.
We'll fix that right now. So maybe one thing is because when people have those issues, they have other symptoms that people don't really connect the dots to with low blood pressure, like anxiety or horrible digestion, mm-hmm. you know. And
mood swings.
Right.
Mood swings. Depression.
Right. Seizures, that sort of stuff. But people aren't connecting that to their blood pressure or electrolyte deficient state. So they get meds for those things, like anxiety, depression.
And a lot of depression meds do help to lift blood pressure.
Right.
They just don't really know.
Yeah.
That.
If they called them low blood pressure meds, then maybe it'd be more accurate.
You know what I take for that? Alcohol.
Uh-huh.
It works every time.
That's my medicine of
choice.
It's very helpful.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, with what you're saying is that high blood pressure is so focused on because a doctor doesn't want you to have a blowout. He doesn't want you to have a heart attack, an aneurysm, some kind of episode.
Unless you have AAA, then they can just come and fix
that. Yeah, they'll come in. It's like 30 minutes. But So they're not as concerned if we have low blood pressure because you're not going to have a blowout. But it's also not fun to drive around on flat tires all day like a lot of people with low blood pressure are doing.
Well, in extreme cases, you could look at like seizures and strokes. Like that can be low blood pressure cause.
Seizures especially, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so that's kind of their like equivalent to a heart attack on the other side of the spectrum.
But the medical world doesn't look at seizures as low blood pressure we do. They look at it as, man, you are jacked up.
Yes.
If I have a seizure right now, will you grab my tongue, Will?
Okay.
Prevent me from chewing it off.
Can I just stick something in there?
Oh. Okay, don't go there.
That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Wait, I can hear them.
Everyone cringing. All of the children's ears are being covered. No,
cover your children's ears.
I hear the sound of us being kicked off the air.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking of like a pen.
So let's talk a little bit about how blood pressure...
It starts with a pen.
Oh. We've lost control of all things.
It's my blood
pressure.
It's making me be crazy.
So let's talk about what happens with blood pressure. And one thing that we, you know, I think Will and I see with a lot of clients is that water, you may have heard of this, it's water.
Oh.
You know, people drink it.
It's wet.
That's what I say to people that come in with these crazy high blood pressures. You can tell they're not drinking anything. I'll hand them a bottle and I'll say, have you heard of this? And they'll be like, Fiji, yeah, I've heard of that. And I'm like, no, water.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of water? Because people, they don't drink water much. You can say, you know, how much water do you drink? And it's like, well, I just had some coffee and that had water in it.
Liquidy.
Yeah.
I'm about to drink water right now.
Uh-huh. So people really need to drink water because water is what helps our body wash out the junk.
Yeah.
And Will, maybe talk for a second about what blood pressure is made of and what, you know, what we're looking at.
Yeah.
A reflection of.
Sure. When we think about like what's giving your blood pressure, it's like the volume of the blood itself, but the things that are in it that make it thicker, make it give you more pressure, as well as the state of your nervous system. But the blood itself, we look at like sugars and electrolytes as two of the main constituents that will help add pressure. And then you can also look at like the sugar that comes from protein. When we think about this, you can kind of think of proteins, as well as like poorly broken down proteins can also be circulating in the bloodstream, and salts and plaque, and all those things can add.
And filth.
Right.
So all those things can make up what your blood pressure is. But so if you're not drinking the right amount of water, your body doesn't have the main tool it needs to wash out junk.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk more about some other water stuff when we get into questions. But another main area is we look at bile flow when someone has high blood pressure, because what the body does is it takes this garbage, and it's usually you eating a case of ding-dongs or something that you shouldn't have had, and now your body has garbage in it, and it'll be filtered out through the liver. So the liver takes this filth and then puts it into our bile, and then the bile goes into, mixes with our food, and it helps to digest the food, and then that becomes the stuff that goes out the back door. I'm talking about pooping right now.
Oh. I just woke up.
Yeah. Hello, pooping. I like me some pooping.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's bile is not flowing correctly, now that exit strategy for all that filth is turned off. So that's usually a big thing. And you probably see that a lot with a lot of people with high blood pressures, that they also have poor bile flow.
Yeah. And it makes them feel really nauseous and toxic and just sluggish.
And a little bitchy.
Yeah.
Right.
And with that, we'll oftentimes see like high amounts of ammonias in their systems and ureas that are contributing to that because they're not eliminating that waste.
Right.
Yeah.
And a third factor can be vascular constriction, which is kind of, it can make your blood pressure higher than what it is by constricting the vascular system.
Mm-hmm. And those two things can be like a slam dunk, like doubly damaging and go together often, because a lot of times when people have high blood sugar, their body's kind of slow at metabolizing carbs, so it'll put the body into the sympathetic state to try to speed glycolysis or the processing of sugar.
Right.
But that also constricts the blood, the circulatory system, so then we see thick blood in a restricted system, and those two unfortunately go together, so it really adds to a lot of high blood pressure cases. And also, that high glucose, as we talked about last week, and the high cholesterol, usually creates a more narrow circulatory system to begin with. So all three of those things create a really high blood pressure case.
Right. So when we look at thinking about what we talked about with what makes up the blood pressure, and sugar is one of those things. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has high sugar, like a type 2 diabetic, then they're often going to have higher blood pressure because the sugar is higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that formula that we're looking at.
Right.
You boys are not just cute, you're smart.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah.
So before we go into questions and stuff, I do want to say this, that high blood pressure is a situation where I'm not going to punch a doctor in the face for putting people on these medications in most cases, because it really can be a life-saving situation. You know, a blowout from high blood pressure, if you have a heart attack, you die, like, convincingly. Like, you do really well
sure
at dying.
Dead.
I
yeah.
believed you.
All the way dead. And so using blood pressure meds is a good way to put off death for a temporary situation and allow the person to make some changes so that they can straighten
things out.
Yeah, I don't
feel like dying today. Maybe tomorrow.
Right. Mm-hmm. If they want to schedule it for a Thursday or something, they can take those meds. So if you're on meds now and you're listening to this, by the time we get to beating up how these meds work, I don't want you to think that that means that you should just drop your meds, because mm-hmm. that's not the case. You need to take the right steps, correct the underlying problems, and then work with your doctor to work on that.
Yeah. Our approach is always to make it, use nutrition to get it so that the person no longer qualifies to take the medication anymore.
Right.
So that their blood pressure is dropping too low, because like they're on their med and they've taken the right steps to fix their nutrition. So now their blood pressure is just being pushed too low by the meds, and that's a good time to like get off of that.
Right. And when we talk about things that you can do, this is really important if you're on meds now to understand this, because the med does not have like a little robotic ninja in it or some kind of computer that lives in your body and tells the med that blood pressure is now in normal range so you can reduce all the effort that you're making, Mr. Medication. That doesn't actually happen. So there is no controller in the med. It's just built to lower the blood pressure no matter what your blood pressure is. So if your blood pressure is high, say it's 140 over 90, you take this med and it brings you down to 120 over 80, now you're a fancy gold star boy like Will. But if you take other steps to bring down your blood pressure naturally, now the med is going to push them too low and you'll start to have a lot of the symptoms that we've talked about on other shows for low blood pressure.
Yeah.
And Tony, you know all this crap because you lost your voice 8 years ago and you had to like do all this research to figure out what was wrong with you.
I went psycho.
Basically. And so you just started throwing yourself into it. But what about you, Will? What made you decide to throw yourself into all this?
Well, I had a lot of issues too because I was following mainstream fitness advice. I was always very underweight, so I never had a blood pressure issue.
Oh, he was underweight.
I was too skinny.
He couldn't even get it up.
Not cool.
He took a lot of steps to
not
fix
cool.
that.
Don't ask how Tony knows that. But I was following mainstream fitness nutrition, like taking these really gross, toxic weight gainers and protein powders. Never did steroids or anything. That probably would have worked really well, but I never went there. I just stuck with like all the stuff I was reading in these magazines. And after about a decade or 12 years of doing it, eventually my skin broke out into horrible eczema. And then a year or two after that, I started to get a lot of what seemed like multiple sclerosis type symptoms.
Wow.
It was like clenching, cramping, gnawing pain in my extremities that it started in my feet and ankles, and then it just spread to like my whole lower leg, then my hips and my hands and my torso. And it was really haunting.
Yeah, as you're talking about these, I'm starting to feel everything.
You're itching
now?
A little
bit of a hypochondriac.
Yeah, my eyes itched. So I had to study. I had to find different doctors. And I went the mainstream route. I went to Kaiser. They did all these tests. Nothing looked off at all. Everything looked perfect, like usual.
Right.
But I was in immense, constant pain all the time. And it was getting worse. Like, I had to sleep in fetal position. I'd have nightmares of being electrocuted because my nerves were all... It was intense. So that led me to like study different doctors and go to different people that were recommended to me. And eventually I found a few different, like more naturally holistically minded doctors, as well as like the whole system that Tony and I were trained in.
Mm. I had a nightmare that I was a pony.
Yeah.
And I was at a kid's party and they were like pulling on my hair. Of course, I called it my mane.
Yeah.
Right. Why you got to pull on my mane?
Yeah.
I don't know why I could talk when I was a pony, but I was upset with
Maybe
the kids and I was telling them about
thinking it. Thinking you weren't actually saying it.
I always have those recurring nightmares where you're naked.
Where I'm naked?
No. Where I'm naked and I'm in a public place. Or the ones where my teeth are crumbling or falling out. Now that happens
that
to
sucks.
Me like ongoing.
That's a mineral issue.
And we've got off topic.
Oh, here
to
we
wrap
go.
It back in though, one thing I'd like to say while we're touching on meds is some person might be thinking, well, if my med lowers my blood pressure, why don't I just take that and that's good, I'm good to go. Well, there you're not changing why your blood pressure is high in the first place. You're just like doing some very aggressive tactics to push your blood pressure down. And the whole nutritional problem and biochemical balance in the body is still way off, even with the med. And you're really hurting your liver in the meantime.
Right. And a lot of people, their opinion is that the blood pressure meds are working by restricting your body's ability to increase the pressure of the blood. So you're basically fixing the problem by weakening your heart. So maybe that's not a good idea if that's the case.
And you kind of need your heart.
You kind of want that.
And your liver.
And you'll see that in the blood not actually getting thinner. Like you'll see just a lower systolic and still like an oddly high diastolic a lot of times when people are taking meds.
And everybody like is, what the hell is that?
Yeah. So yeah, we're talking about measurements with your blood pressure. And you know, when we talk about imbalances and looking at specific numbers, we do teach how to do that in our free digestion course on kickitonthenuts.com. So if we get too complicated for you, you can go learn how to do that there. And you know, skin stuff, we should do an episode on skin issues.
Yeah, people are really curious about eczema, acne,
freckles.
Skin.
Yeah, we can fix
rid of that.
You just use sandpaper.
Totally screwed.
Yeah, sandpaper. And if you guys want to hear any of the other topics that we've talked about, like the low blood pressure stuff, like depression and stuff, then just go to iTunes and search for Kick It Naturally, and you can subscribe and get all our episodes for free.
Mm. All right, cool. Well, are we ready to answer some questions?
No.
Okay, then I guess we're done with the
show.
Bye-bye
now.
Tune in next week.
Poop. Don't forget to poop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here's the fun part of the show for me, because I get to read these questions, and sometimes I throw in a fun accent, but
it's
I
good
don't
times.
Know.
And,
I don't
and
know.
She's trained in these things. If you don't know who Kenna is, she was
look me up,
she
Google
was
me.
Nina in Office.
Best
Office,
movie
Office
ever.
Space. Yeah.
Aw,
I mean,
thanks,
what a cult following that movie.
And then
has.
Later on I would star in a movie called Orifice Space.
Oh, that's different.
That's a different movie.
That was filmed in the valley.
Exactly.
All of our children are
yeah. Jonathan from Manhattan, New York. My dad's blood pressure is very high and he's on meds. He doesn't seem to really even care that it's so high. Should we be worried?
Yeah, you might want to worry about that, because if he's still high and he's on meds that are like forcing, because meds are so powerful and they really, I mean, it's like a locomotive, you know? So if it's pushing it down and it's still high, you got to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
You should care about that.
And one thing he could do that's free is water.
Water is free.
Drink a shit ton of water.
Right. But I think a lot of times guys are, you know, they're macho. Like me, I'm very macho.
Yes, very insanely macho.
And I'd say maybe, because we've touched on it a couple of times, but one of the first things people can do as far as action is what to fix. Like when we say water, try to drink like several liters of it a day, and ideally have it be either distilled or reverse osmosis water. When people are wondering like what kind of water is best.
Sure.
Because that, you may have heard like, oh, it's not good to drink those because they're hungry waters where they're going to pull minerals out of your body. Well, for a low blood pressure person, that's a problem, but it's perfect for a high blood pressure person because we want that Brownian motion or that osmotic pressure to pull all those extra electrolytes and salts and stuff out of your blood. So when you drink distilled reverse osmosis water, the kidneys have a chance to shove all that high sediment into the low sediment fluid you're drinking.
Right, and can pull some junk out. Yeah. And let's talk about water a little bit too, because a lot of times it's not about the amount of water that you're drinking, it's about what your body's doing with that water.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the catabolic-anabolic imbalance too, but maybe we'll explain how if somebody's overly catabolic, that the water is maybe going to the wrong place.
Yeah, it does tend to shove more of the water through your colon rather than through your kidneys. And the kidneys are the ones that are really filtering your blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all those things kind of go together. Like when you're too catabolic, you also tend to be slower oxidizer. I mean, your blood sugar tends to be higher and you tend to be sympathetic. So you really want to address that catabolic issue because it's adding to all those other problems. So pushing yourself to be more anabolic, which you can learn how to do in like our 12-week fat loss course or the digestive issues
I'm
course.
I like sympathetic people, though. They seem to be nicer and they understand things.
Yeah, that's a different kind of sympathetic.
Oh.
But I think that you're pretty.
Aw,
But so yeah, so someone who's catabolic and more water is going to the bowels, if they do drink the proper amount of water that they really need, they can end up with ass soup all day and they're having diarrhea nonstop. They're on the toilet 12 times a day.
Not fun.
Because so they kind of learn, even if it's just subconsciously, hey, if I don't drink water, I kind of feel better.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. So if you have a problem where when you drink more water, that it's a train of spraying out the back door, then you should find out what's going on that's causing that.
Yeah.
You know, another good thing that's really easy for people to do with high blood pressure too, and when they're starting to increase water, is to drink a really big glass or maybe two first thing in the morning, right when you wake up, because then that water can kind of really help your body to wash out junk.
Where, that it was doing all night.
Yeah, yeah. There's no telling what you were doing all night. Mm-hmm. But
Ken is usually the bars. It's pretty
right.
Mm-hmm. It's a good guess.
But a lot of the water later in the day is used towards digestion and other functions. But if you can cram a bunch in early in the morning, it can be one simple step that can help a lot.
Hmm, cool. All right, Mary. My high blood pressure freaks me out. That's how I think Mary would sound.
I think she sounds exactly like
if she said
I thought
that.
It was Mary when I started doing that. Well, I think one thing is that there's a lack of knowledge, and that's something that people really freak out about. They see their blood pressure going high, and they assume it's genetic. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm getting served a screwed sandwich.
Yeah. So maybe we can talk a little bit about the two, like a couple main things that someone in that place could do is, one, like, go talk to their doctor, but also, like, drink a lot of water, try to control your blood sugar levels by, you know, go through the fat loss course and really learn, like, what that looks like.
Yeah, look at what's going on with your body, and if something's screaming, like, sugars are really high, then abracadabra, you kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, and it can change really quick. Like, I've tested clients that had extremely high blood pressure, and it's dropped like 80 points in 2 days.
Wow.
And with that, they've lost like 14 pounds in a week. It was crazy.
Right.
It was just from drinking water and cutting carbs, like, made the two biggest things.
Right, because if you think about what happens to carbs when you eat them, they turn into sugar in your body. So when somebody reduces their carbs, now all of a sudden the sugar goes down and now the blood is less thick.
Which also makes me think of another point. A lot of times people will be very afraid of salt when their blood pressure is high, and that's, you know, it's notable to maybe restrict your salt intake. But when people like are worried also about that puffy look in addition to the high blood pressure, we want to remember that it's not sodium that causes sodium retention, it's elevated insulin that causes sodium retention. So when people are eating carbs, that will keep salts in the bloodstream. More so, like, sometimes salt can even be helpful to help fix digestive problems and things like that. Well, you wouldn't go very heavy on it when you're high blood pressure. It's not the main thing usually that you got to focus on as much as the carbs.
Right, and people are very afraid of salt. You know, something interesting, we went to Redmond's Salt Mines and did a tour with them for the Why Am I So Fat movie and interviewed those guys. And the salt mines were crazy awesome. It was like you were on another planet, kind of underground. But he was telling me that, you know, a lot of the table salt stuff that we use is processed and it's sodium chloride and everything else is kind of stripped out of it. But if you use an unrefined salt, it has all these other minerals in it. And he said that they get letters and emails every single day from people saying that they've started to use their unrefined salt and their blood pressure has actually come down. And it kind of got me to thinking, you know, we talk a lot about vitamin C, and if a person uses ascorbic acid, that's just a piece of the whole vitamin C. It's not the whole complex of the vitamin. And eventually, in a couple of weeks, their body will run out of all of those cofactors, and then that becomes useless to them. And then that's when your pee gets real pretty. Like, it's like that bright yellow, and like your neighbors are like, oh, Tom's peeing again. I can see it from, So, but then if you add in a whole vitamin C that's made from food that has all the cofactors, all of a sudden your body can use everything again. So it kind of makes you wonder that if table salt is just the sodium chloride, you know, ion of that whole molecule and all those minerals and everything that's in an unrefined salt, if you use an unrefined salt, now your body can use that sodium instead of it, you know, getting packed up and stored up. And that may be what's causing those people to lower their blood pressure.
Yeah.
But that's, we just talked about how you don't have to be afraid of salt, but you might, you know, you don't want to use table salt if your blood pressure is already high. You want to take the right steps to fix the actual underlying cause. And for that, you have to figure out what it is for you.
Yeah. Or other foods that contain sodium chloride, like soy sauce and stuff like that.
Sure, a lot of processed, they just contain like that one sodium fraction, and that can be just as bad.
Okay, Vicky, Pleasanton, California. My dentist says my body creates a lot of plaque. I'm on blood pressure meds, was on water pills, but asked to be off because it was causing gout. How will I know if I can go off BP meds? Will my BP fall low if I fix my body chemistry? How will my doctor know to take me off or reduce?
Sure.
Yeah, like as if.
Totally. So there, she has a lot of good questions in there, actually. Yeah. And when we look at like plaque, we get to thinking more about ureas and how the body's processing proteins. So, and that draws us to digestion. We want to look at, like, is your body breaking down proteins well and able to use them, or are they kind of just floating in the bloodstream and accumulating as plaque?
Right. Don't just think that you're plaquey because your dentist said that. That doesn't mean I'm just a plaquey guy.
Yeah.
There's reasons that that's going on. You want to look at why that's happening.
Yeah, and so
black is the new black,
right? And so with, oh god. So then she has a lot of questions about like knowing how to phase things out, and this is why we love self-testing and how we teach it in the courses about how to track your own blood pressure. We have videos that show how to do that, and it can really put responsibility or empowerment into your own life, where you start to know when your blood pressure is in the right range or if it's dropping too low, and then you can teach your doctor.
Right. You know? and you may need to. And what we're doing is we're helping people move away from that, take these pills and come back in 2 months and we'll see if your lips are blue or not. It's about taking responsibility and taking action and being a participant in your own health. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And making that doctor spend more than 10 minutes with you when you've been waiting an hour.
Right.
And make him like answer questions.
And you know, and another thing, this makes me think of like, I don't know how many, it's usually in older generations, but there's been a bunch of clients that I've had that have been on conflicting meds where they're like on blood pressure lowering med and an antidepressant, like it's pushing their blood pressure back up and they're staying in this weird hovering place. And they usually have no clue how the different meds are working or where their blood pressure is.
Right. So they're kind of driving with their foot on the gas and the brake at the same time. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever tried that, a lot of people look at you. Yeah. There's a lot of people staring at you when it's happening. But let's talk about this a little bit because this will be a big deal. You if you're going to try and lower your blood pressure naturally and you're on meds, it's super important that you're monitoring your blood pressure at least every other day or so and seeing where it's going. And what will happen is as it starts to go too low, you'll start to either have dizzy spells or you'll be depressed or just wiped out tired. A lot of the things that go along with low blood pressure, like we talk about. So you really have to watch what you're doing. And then you have to, when it starts to get in range, you have to talk to your doctor about lowering it. But I've had clients that he started doing everything right. He reduced his carbs and he started to improve digestion so it wasn't all just junk in his blood. So now his blood's thinning out, blood pressure's coming down naturally, he's drinking more water, and he started having dizzy spells and he fell down. So he goes to his doctor and he's like, well, I was told that my blood pressure is too low now and then maybe we should reduce these meds since they're pushing it low. And the doctor said, well, don't reduce your meds, just use more salt.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a natural remedy to improve the situation that I'm causing synthetically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not thought all the way through.
Right. So it's not in their education that you can come off the meds. So you may need to either teach your doctor that or find a doctor who understands that if, you know, there's a lot of doctors now that they love taking their clients off meds when once situations improve. So find one of them.
Okay, Richard from Jalalabad, Afghanistan. Okay.
Wow, we're international.
Yeah, we are.
We're blowing up.
I can't do an Afghani accent.
Try.
Okay.
Just make it sound Jamaican.
It won't bother Shipping Wars Roy anymore. Maybe he should have worked on his BP. Mm-hmm. Wait, it won't bother Shipping Wars Roy anymore.
Who's that? There's a show. It's called Shipping
Wars. And this guy died.
He died recently, and he was only like 49. So that's kind of scary. But it helps you understand that's why the meds can be okay in the short term, because it's a really serious situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Larry from Victoria, Texas. What are some of the side effects and ways to combat high blood pressure?
Side effects are dead. That's a side effect. Yeah. You dead.
Well, yeah, when we think about like the other things, there's some bit of like sideways thinking when people think about like, oh, if I lose weight, my blood pressure will go down, and they're blaming like the fat.
Right.
Or they're blaming stress, and those are contributing factors, but we don't want to think about like fat is causing the high blood pressure. It's related, like co-concurrent symptom of
both symptoms have the similar cause.
Yeah, right. Like the metabolism's off, the digestion's off, there's metabolic imbalances that need to be addressed. So
yeah, because if that were true, all fat people would have high blood pressure.
Right.
And, you know, even at 100 pounds heavier, I was still very low.
Yeah.
When I first met Tony, I was like 90 over something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, everyone's nuanced, and they have their own issues causing their own unique constellation of symptoms.
Right. So get away from that remedy thinking that I can do this to fix low blood pressure. It's not about what's going to fix, quote unquote, blood pressure. I'm doing air quotes right now. I feel like I need to tell people when I do that just because it's so stupid to do that. But
especially on a radio show.
Right. Yeah. I comb my hair for this show too. But it's.
I wish you'd brush your teeth.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. That's effort. But I don't remember what I was saying.
But
it's about looking at the person.
Yeah.
It's about finding their cause for the high blood pressure.
Yeah. And in general, like, the ways to combat it, we want to look at like the typical causes of high blood pressure. Like we've already talked about, there could be a whole bunch of different things going on.
Sure.
But usually it's like they're not drinking enough pure, clean water, and their blood sugar is usually high. And sometimes they have this catabolic imbalance, and sometimes they're in a sympathetic nervous system imbalance.
Right.
And there's different causes of all those things, and they're all kind of related. So in general, restricting your carbohydrate intake and drinking more clean, pure water and making sure your digestion's working well are really key things for most people.
Can it be genetics predisposed to high blood pressure, like all your parents and...
No, never speak again.
I was just posting that question because that is a good question. I was going to, you know...
That's probably what 80% of the people think.
Exactly. I speak for the people.
Right, you are a people rep.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be contributing factors like that. Genetics can play a role in directions your body may lean towards, but we can always improve those things through lifestyle choices and stuff. I also want to hit a little more on what Will was talking about, you know, making sure you improve digestion. Not only the ability to break down the food so all the food doesn't turn into garbage, but when we talked about bile before, I really see that this is a big deal. And if you're going to work on your blood pressure, working on bile flow is huge, because when the body puts the filth into the bile so that it can be removed from the body, so that it can say bye-bye filth, if that bile is too thick and sticky and it's not flowing correctly, and this happens a lot because of all of the chemicals in our food, they seem to thicken up our bile so that it's not flowing correctly. But if that bile can't flow and exit, then all that filth starts seeping back into the blood so that it can filter out through the liver again. So it just kind of becomes this filthy cycle, and now our blood is filled with junk, and the blood pressure goes up.
So I'm not fat. I just have thick bile.
Big bone, big bile.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the same tip of that, in looking at digestion and blood pressure, that's kind of the second end of digestion with the bile flow and the elimination. On the front end, if you don't have good stomach acid production, a lot of the food that you eat, especially the proteins, aren't going to be broken down well. So they'll end up occurring to your body as toxins that just kind of circulate. And that's one of the main contributing factors of lymphatic congestion, which is really intimately related to the blood, is these proteins that aren't broken down well.
Right, right. You're causing more trouble than you are good.
Yeah. Mm.
Jody! Mine is high. Last night, 155 over 105. Quit smoking, fair health, no meds, made me too tired to work. Only bad thing left is stress, really. So now what? Alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I just had sex because Jody sounded really sexy at the beginning, and then she got annoying.
In the midst of it.
I don't know if I finished or why she became annoying.
Character choice. Uh-huh.
So she didn't say anything about a low-carb diet there or that she knew what her body chemistry was doing, so she could have any of these imbalances contributing to problems, even if she thinks she's eating a healthy diet, like a vegan diet or whatever.
It could be. Her stress. I mean, what? Hypnosis, meditation.
Needs to get laid. Let,
get laid.
I just did. Let's talk about a couple things with her, too. Is she did great by quitting smoking because smoking not only puts all that filth in your blood, which is going to thicken it, but it also constricts your vascular system. And that's why people get so addicted to smoking, is if a person's a low blood pressure person, now the smoking can lift their blood pressure to where they feel like a human.
And it makes Tony want to slap the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm. Because it stinks. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. That's a different topic. So that's one thing that she did correctly. And don't think that stress doesn't count at all. I just don't want you to look at it as the cause of your high blood pressure. It almost never is.
Yeah.
It's not like your whole body's going to be functioning correctly and then you're just so stressed that your blood pressure is all jacked up. But it's still a contributing factor because when you're stressed, your body makes chemicals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you know, all those stuff gets all jacked up and hormones and that's put in place to help us run from a lion.
Well, adrenaline like and all that. Too, exercise helps with stress. Maybe she should get a punching bag or something. Or she punch could, her husband.
Yeah, she punched me like you do. And
that gets rid of my stress.
Mm-hmm. But so taking steps to reduce stress can help. Just don't look at it like that's the answer.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. Okay. Okay, Daniel from Granbury, Texas, which I may know you, Daniel, because this was my first professional show I ever did and got paid for was in Granbury, Texas at the Granbury Opera House. So
they had stripping at the Opera House?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Cut back on obvious causes and was fine for about a year. Slacked on aerobic exercise and it returned. We'll try again.
Well, he's got it figured out.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think he needs us. He's going to try again.
That's kind of the thing, same thing with stress. You know, maybe, Will, you might talk about some of the benefits that can come from exercise. But again, usually it's not such a thing that it's going to fix everything. Usually there are other things going wrong that are causing high blood pressure.
Yeah, it can definitely help when we exercise. Because for a lot of people that are high blood sugar, high blood pressure, and overweight, they'll really benefit from exercising because exercising really increases the cell's ability to bring sugar in and burn it and use it for fuel, even if they're very insulin resistant. So while they're restoring their cell's sensitivity to insulin, it's a great way to kind of get ahead and get your blood sugar to be used as fuel rather than just sitting there making things worse. So weight training, more intense strength training as well, and cardio also can be good.
Yeah, if you can drink a lot of water and you sweat a lot, now your body can remove a lot of filth from through the pores too.
Yeah.
You ever seen a cheeseburger come out of a pore?
No, I haven't seen that.
No. But
I would take note.
Right. Mm-hmm. On that too, like infrared saunas and things like that can be useful. I would not recommend relying on that for your weight loss, low blood pressure goals, because that can be just dehydrating. And if you're not correcting the nutritional aspect of it as well, it's just kind of like you're using a single parameter and it's going
to
mess you
up. Or if your body's not sending water to the kidneys, so you're basically just going to try and pee out of your pores all day, that's not the right step to make.
Okay, Robert from High Springs, Florida. Can some otherwise healthy people have higher than normal pressure consistently over a lifetime? Mine's the same now at 220 pounds as when I weighed 145 pounds in high school, 130 over 95. It was higher at 150 90 over 95 a couple years back. I also have hemochromatosis.
That was pretty good that you said that right, Kenna.
I know, because someone else I know.
Oh, so yeah, that was an issue that I was dealing with too. So that's something to look at, Robert, is that iron really thickens your blood. And that's what hemochromatosis is is it's an iron overload situation where the body just absorbs more iron than it needs. So that would certainly jack up blood pressure a lot. And I did, when I saw this question, I asked him some other stuff too, because I'm like related to him now. Mm-hmm. But he had numbers that were just insane high iron. So that would certainly play a part in that. When it comes to, can somebody just have higher blood pressure all the time? I don't think anybody could answer that, because I think you got to look at, you know, what's going on. I mean, they could have no bile flow for most of their life, and the filth would raise their blood pressure. So there's lots of things that could be going on.
But when we look at like this other thing about how his blood pressure, he said he balanced it out with, but it was kind of the same, whether he was 220 or 145, it's just like someone could be a healthy bodybuilder potentially and have like all balanced body chemistry. They just have more muscle on them, or they could be a thinner like marathon runner and still be balanced. It's just a matter of how well is your body keeping its homeostasis regardless of how much muscle mass you have.
Right.
No one thing is right for everybody, right?
Sure.
You might find that in one of TC's books.
Oh, I have books.
Uh-huh. Kick it in the nuts. Kick your fat in the nuts. Kick your depression in the nuts. Kick your period in the nuts. Kick everything in the nuts. Kick your boyfriend in the nuts.
That's a different. I haven't written that book yet. I probably
I'm waiting
won't.
For that one.
But and also the cause of his blood pressure could have changed through life. You know, at one point it could have been the higher iron. At another point it could have been higher sugar. You know, there's no way to really know that.
All right. Misty from Mount Zion, Illinois. My mom was hospitalized and then put on beta blockers. I say it is 100% diet. Thoughts?
You want to talk about beta blockers?
Let's hit the diet first and then you can hit the beta blocker stuff. But one thing about diet is I agree that it's 100% what we eat. But if you have high blood pressure, you may not be able to view it by as fixing it with just food. Because you may have other issues like digestive issues that may not be repaired by just changing what you're eating. So if bile's not flowing, you need to take steps to do that. We teach how to do that in our free courses.
Kick it in the nuts.
Yeah, the free course, digestion course and stuff. But it is really all about food, and they got there by eating a lot of things that we should not be producing and serving in the cafeteria. But that doesn't mean that your mom could fix it with 100% food. Mm. There may be need to make other steps as well. Mm. So now beta blockers, you want to...
Well, again, like it's not really our place to say whether you should or shouldn't take medications. We just want to focus on returning to like, what are the causes behind this person's individual imbalances? And what can we do to fix that? So, like, what's going on in their digestion? Where does their self-test they do say that their body chemistry lies? And work on correcting that so that they no longer even raise a red flag about why a doctor would recommend a beta blocker in the first place.
Right, right. It's about finding a point of reference instead of just blindfolding yourself and throwing darts and hope that you don't hit somebody in the eye.
Yeah, just becoming aware. Not all medication's not evil. Some people need it, but just knowing that there may be other solutions out there that don't have to affect all your internal organs in
right.
the process.
A big step is to look away from treating the condition that I have, because mm-hmm. that's what people do. And the problem is that a lot of conditions have more than one cause, especially this one that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So that's when it becomes important to look at the person.
Yeah, and you like what I do when I look at like a particular medication, you want to see like, okay, what parameter are they trying to push around? Like, is it your blood pressure? Is it a cholesterol score? What, you know, is it a high sugar level in your blood? And then think about what's happening with your diet and with your body. Why would that parameter be off?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just having a drug that pushes you back into like what they say is a healthy range, what are the causes and the effects of the things going on in your life and your diet and your lifestyle?
So. True that. I just true that.
He true that.
Yeah.
I mean, like you're always like food journal, food journal, food journal. So if somebody's having issues, they could just be journaling everything that they're eating, putting in their mouth, you know, anything that's going on and saying, okay, my blood pressure was that high that day. maybe take this food out or something. I don't know.
If my blood sugar is always 150, then maybe I don't eat Kit Kats for dinner every night. Mm-hmm. Exactly, maybe I adjust that. Maybe.
And I don't think we're all aware of what we're putting in our bodies all the time, because we're living in such a fast-paced society that we're just grabbing it and going, and we don't realize, oh, I had 12 cookies earlier.
Yeah.
So, okay, Matt, Cheyenne, Wyoming. Meditation does work. Find a happy place.
Yeah, I think that's cool, Matt. I think you sound all right. Nice. And I don't have a problem with that. That's another thing where, like, if stress is a contributing factor, removing that contributing factor can be helpful. Totally. It just may not be enough to be the answer. If stress is not all of your underlying cause, it's not going to fix the problem.
Yeah. When we talked about all these different things, whether it's a sympathetic state, pushing up your blood pressure, meditation could definitely help. Mm-hmm. But I've also found meditation really helpful in, like, helping me organize my life better so that I'm not frantic. I'm not, like, missing meals. I'm not, you know, just eating whatever because I'm starving. And I think a lot of people, especially, like, in busy cities like LA, like, they're not planning enough. And meditation, even though it takes some time during the day, it also helps, like, save me a lot of time by I'm less frantic and a better planner.
Yeah.
And that can really help.
And I find that I mostly meditate just in the hopes that somebody will walk in and catch me doing it, because I want to look cool like Patrick Swayze did in that Roadhouse movie or whatever that was. But I still feel that that's a benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Bobby Joe from Brownwood, Texas. Bobby Joe, I got family in Brownwood, so you may know the McMillans, and if you do, say hey.
What up?
Natural remedy. Just that's it. That's his question. Is there a natural remedy?
Yeah, Bobby Joe and the next Violetta in New York.
Triggers.
Talking about triggers. Yeah, triggers.
Triggers.
You know, that's kind of what we were just saying, is kind of move yourself away from that. There are natural things you can do to air quote, un-air quote, remedy the situation, but that doesn't mean it's a natural remedy that's going to fix high blood pressure, because the cause that whatever that remedy is works on may be different than what's causing the problem for you.
Yeah, we've talked about a number of different possible contributing factors, and you may have some or one or all of them, but in general, you want to look at, like, is your digestion working well, like your stomach acid and your bile flow? Is your blood sugar balanced? Are you drinking enough pure, clean water? And are you over-consuming carbs or not? Like, when we kind of look at all those things.
How's your body doing with those sugars? And also, what is your body doing with the water that you're drinking? All those things are important.
Yeah. And then we look at triggers for Violetta's questions. Like, any one of those things that are off, those could be your triggers.
Yeah.
So when we think about, like, oh, some herb product to lower your blood pressure, like, you know, and they say it works on, like, 60% of the population. Well, that's because there's all this variety of, like, what's going on for each person, and it might help push some issue in some useful way for some people. But you're not really going to get to the bottom of it until you understand what's going on for you, your digestion, your blood sugar, your metabolism, your nervous system, your water flow.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here, but I wanted to hit one thing that we've talked about on another show before with Will, and that is that a lot of people don't understand that they would have been put on antidepressants, you know, 20 years ago and have been using them their whole life, and now they're on high blood pressure meds. And what they don't understand is that a lot of antidepressants work by restricting a person's ability to pee out their salts. So more salts stay in the system, their blood pressure comes up, and then they can function better. And listen to our depression episode if you don't understand how that can be affected. But now the person's on two meds. And you've had clients that have gone, you know, both ways with that too, where they were put on high blood pressure meds and they used them for a while, and then they had to be put on antidepressants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of times it's because they're doing it mindlessly. They'll go in and they'll get their a physical done twice a year, and that's when they learn where their blood pressure's at. And sometimes they're taking the right amounts of meds that are keeping their blood pressure in the right zone. But I don't want people to think that that's a sustainable way to go about it, because those are very toxic issues that are like poisoning your liver every time you take them. But it's also avoiding the problem of, like, what's going on in your digestion, your metabolism, how your body's using fuel and eliminating waste. So don't think that just because you keep your blood pressure where the doctor says it should be, that you fix the problem.
Right.
And it just in case, I mean, like, this is a question from me. Like, what if your blood pressure is just up one day? Does that mean it's always up, or, you know?
No,
does
and
that
that's,
mean, and so if you check your blood pressure once or twice a year, and then they subscribe you something just because on that particular day your blood pressure was up for some reason, you were in a credible amount of pain or what, something was going on.
And that white jacket syndrome that they talk about where you're just scared because you're in the doctor's office, that can be for real. Some people are really freaked out that they're going to be told they're going to die in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they don't have time to even set up a garage sale. So that can be real. So let's talk about steps a person should take if they have high blood pressure. And one of them is to do what Kenna just said, really, which is shocking to me.
Because I had a point. I had a good point. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
So Kenna won't be on the show next week.
Yeah, exactly.
But is get a blood pressure cuff. You know, it's like $50. You can find them cheap at any drugstore anywhere. And just have one so that you can check your blood pressure and know where your pressure. But know where you are. And that's the first step, is being conscious of what's going on with your body. It's also good to check your blood pressure at least 2 hours after you've eaten, not right after you ate where all those, you know, carbs are being converted to sugars and it's in there. Look at least 2 hours after you've eaten so you can see where your body is while it's not in the middle of digestion craziness.
Yeah, and they can even watch a video demo of how to do that blood pressure thing. They can, if you go to our free online course at kickinthenuts.com, there's a free 4-week course on digestive issues that will walk them through all the different self-tests. So in the process of checking their blood pressure, they can also start to see where they rest in these different imbalances that we're talking about.
And you'll also get to see what Tony looks like and Will. Aww, so Will. That's a plus.
Will's so pretty.
Aww. Oh, and so is Tony. I just like to give Tony a hard time. Okay, so I think that's it. Anything else?
Maybe another couple steps that, you know, is looking at, do you know what water is? That's important. Don't forget that. If you've never seen water, then just stop by the 7-Eleven and just be like, I understand that you have something to show me. And maybe start adding some water in, not coffee, juice, Coke, soda. None of that is water. We're talking about actual water. And then, you know, all those things with figuring out if bile flow, all that important stuff is there. And just know that you can correct this problem. It's not a genetic thing that you are strucken with and that you're just stuck there.
Strucken.
Yeah. Strucken. And another, a lot of people from Texas today are trying to talk to that audience.
Another resource they can look at is on that same kickinthenuts.com on the courses tab is our 12-week fat loss course, which really gets in deep to all these issues. Fixing your digestion, looking at and understanding your imbalances. And there's also a workout program built into that, which can really help speed the results in getting your blood pressure down and losing fat and balancing your chemistry.
Sure.
All good stuff. So in case you didn't catch all of our plugs, you can learn more about how to look at your own chemistry. You can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. We'll, you know, tune in next week and we'll be talking about something else.
Applesauce.
Yep.
We're gonna mention applesauce. We'll have a different health topic, but I think we're going to mention applesauce.
And eczema. Ooh.
And maybe. Eczema.
Yeah. They always go together.
I've got something weird going on with my ass.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. 'Cause I know a place where the sun is.